Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, I'd like to invite you to stay with me. 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education, and we do it with no manipulation because we don't have hidden agendas. We're not trying to con you into doing anything. We're not trying to ask you for anything. We're just trying to give you something. And that something is accurate information. Information that hopefully, I pray, will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if you are able to do that, you have the freedom and the privacy to orient and adjust to the plan if you'd like to. It's your life, your decisions, your choices, and you got one shot at it, just like me. And we all make some really bad decisions. So if you're interested, listen up. We have a lot to say today, I promise you. Not any human speculation, but just divine revelation from the Scripture, from the canon of Scripture, from the Bible. That's what this show is about. It's a monologue, not a dialogue, but if you'll listen, I promise you, I won't mislead you. I won't take you down the wrong way, and you can weigh the evidence and consider it for yourself. Now, I'm going to go back a little bit to when you were a child. Do you remember ever getting really dirty, really filthy, when your parents would just throw a fit because you were so dirty? You'd been playing in the mud or playing outside, and you were all dirty. I can remember that. I remember that far back. I remember being in high school and playing football and practicing in mud, raining on the practice field and coming in absolutely filthy. The uniform filthy, my face filthy, my feet, socks all wet and dirty. And I remember how good it felt to take a bath, take a shower, get in the shower at the dressing room and clean up. Or how good it felt at home to take a bath and clean up. And how good it feels when you're rid of all the dirt. Well, today I want you to know something. There is a way for you to get rid of the dirt in your life as well. Not the dirt that's on the outside. Not the physical dirt that comes from labor in the yard or sweat, but dirt that is on the inside. What if I told you there was a way that you could start your life all over again? And everything you've ever done in the past that made you nasty and dirty could all be taken away. Because actually, that is possible. I promise you, that is possible according to the Bible, the Word of God. The first thing you have to consider are the claims of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. We know that He came into this world for one reason and one reason only, to pay for the sins of mankind. And we know that He said, "This is the will of the Father, that you believe on Me whom He hath sent." And the Bible clearly says in a verse that you're familiar with in John 3:16, that God so loves the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so the question arises, what do I have to do to get a bath? What do I have to do to be cleansed? And the answer is, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen as I go into the Bible and listen as I read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says here, "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new." Yes, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The cleansing that you're looking for, the cleansing that we're talking about, the bath that makes you clean, is when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. It is the most phenomenal blessing the world has ever known. Now, how does that happen? Listen to Titus 3:5. "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing," there it is, "washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit." So right away we can see something. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done." This is where a lot of people get mixed up because they assume that they can cleanse their own self by being good. However, the Bible says there are none that are good, no, not even one. The Bible says all of our righteousnesses are like a filthy rag in God's eyes. I cannot give you the literal Hebrew translation of filthy rag over the radio for fear that it would embarrass some of you, but it's not something very nice. So to sum it up, in spite of how good you may be, in spite of how nice you may be, that you don't cheat on your taxes, you don't cheat on your spouse, you don't break the speed limit, you always pick up the trash, you always shut the door, you always make the bed, whatever, that's not good enough. There are none that are righteous. No, not one, the Bible says. So let's look at it this way. If God is perfectly righteous, I would write an R on the blackboard and I'd put a plus beside it. That's plus righteousness, perfect righteousness. And then if I put another R underneath it on the blackboard and put a minus beside that, that'd be no righteousness. So we know that plus R and minus R don't compute. They don't add up. Now, if I have minus R, if I have no righteousness, and God has perfect righteousness, how can I get the equivalent righteousness of God? Well, the Bible, again, makes it really, really clear. It's so clear that you just about can't miss it. Listen to this in 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, that's God, has made him, that's Jesus Christ, our Savior, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So how do I get plus R? In Christ. In Christ. That's how it happens. When I put my faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and I express that faith to God the Father, then I am made righteous. Not by any works of my own righteousness, because the Bible again says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." And it's a gift from God, not of works, lest anyone should brag about it. So I'm depending on what Jesus Christ did on the cross to make me righteous. I am not depending on what I can do to make me righteous. This is something the Pharisees had a big debate with Jesus about, because they assumed they were righteous because they observed ceremonial cleansing. And our Lord corrected them and made them know for sure that what defiled them was what was on the inside, not what was on the outside. And so if you've never had that righteousness of God imputed to you by means of faith alone in Christ alone, then actually you're not even a Christian. You may go to church, you may sing in the choir, you may tithe and give money. People do that every week, but that doesn't mean they're a Christian. Some people do that to try to earn their righteousness. There are none righteous, no, not one. So is it possible that you could live a life sinless? The answer is no, because you're born into sin. That's why the Bible says those statements I just told you. For by one man sin came into the world, and death by sin. And now death has passed upon all, for all have sinned, and the wages of sin is death. You are born spiritually dead. We are dead without Christ. We are dead to God. We have no fellowship with God. Listen, you have a body and you have a soul. You have in your soul mentality. You have volition, the ability to choose. You have a consciousness. But you have a dead human spirit. You are spiritually dead. The minute you were born, Adam's original sin was imputed to you, and you died spiritually. That's why the Bible says you have to be born again. Born again. Nicodemus didn't understand that in John chapter 3, because he assumed, wrongly so, that he had to go back into his mother's womb. And Jesus told him that's not true. Being born again is you receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior by faith, not by works. Listen again to Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. There is nothing, I repeat, nothing you can do that will earn God's favor. The work has already been done. All the work was done on the cross. The only way you can receive the favor from God that you're looking for is to come through Jesus Christ and have the same righteousness that He has. And that happens at salvation. He who knew no sin, back to 2 Corinthians 5, was made sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God through Him. So on the cross, there's a trade-out. Jesus Christ, the anointed Son of God, took my sin, and when I come to the cross to receive Christ as my Savior, He gives me His righteousness. So now back to the blackboard, plus R and minus R. Is God absolutely righteous? Yes. Am I absolutely unrighteous? Yes. So how am I made righteous? Through Christ. In Christ. When I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, one of the things that God does for me is He gives me the righteousness of Christ. I am made righteous in God's eyes. Not because I don't do certain things. Not because I observe certain rituals. But because I have placed my faith alone in Christ alone. That's why we say it all the time. It's faith alone in Christ alone. Again, Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. But that's a conjunction of contrast in the Greek New Testament. But according to His mercy, in other words, we didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. It's strictly based on the mercy of God, motivated by the love of God. But according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration. That's the new life. That's the new man in Christ. That's the cleansing. That's being made new. You can have that happen today. You can start your life all over today. You can have a brand new beginning today. That's why I read that verse to you. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Would you like that? Would you like to walk away this morning a new person? Every sin you've ever done, gone. Every sin you've ever done, wiped away. You can, because Jesus Christ paid for each one of those sins. Every sin I have ever done, and I have done my share, more than my share, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, paid for. This is what He died for. He died to redeem us out of the slave market of sin. Apart from His sacrificial death and atonement, we don't have a chance. We would spend eternity in the lake of fire along with Satan and the fallen angels. But thanks to God, because of what Christ has done for us, we have been washed. We have been made new. We are cleansed through faith alone. In Christ alone. Now there's another washing also the Bible talks about, and this has to do with our problem-solving devices. Do you remember problem-solving device number one in the 10 problem-solving devices that make up the flatline of your soul? That's what this program is about, the flatline, the 10 unique problem-solving devices that stop the outside sources of adversity before they ever become the inside sources of stress. It's been a while since I've really talked to you about those 10 unique problem-solving devices, but if you remember, the first one is rebound. Rebound is our ability or our opportunity to get back in fellowship with God when we get out of fellowship with God. And how do we get out of fellowship with God? We sin. We commit personal sin. The Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. In 1 John chapter 1, you can read it for yourself. Verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Yes, we sin. And listen to this. This is verse 7. Well, let's start with verse 6 of 1 John chapter 1. If we say we have fellowship with God and we walk in darkness, we are lying and not living in the truth. But if we will walk in the light as he is in the light, then we will have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, when I sin, it's like let's you and I go into a room, and the room has no windows, but there is a light overhead, and shut the door. Now, if you sin, it's like you turn off that light and you're in a dark room. Now, if God is in the light and you're in the darkness, you can have no fellowship with God. You must be in the light. So when you rebound or when you confess your sin, you're turning the light back on or you're getting fellowship with God again. You're regaining the fellowship. I know it's confusing, but listen, if we say we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie. So if you're in that dark room with unconfessed sin in your life, you are not in fellowship with God. But the Bible goes on to say, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, okay, how do I get in the light? 1 John 1:9, if we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Rebound is you naming your sin to God. It's you admitting your sin to God. And then God is faithful. He always is faithful, and he's always just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's an act of grace. We're not able to cleanse ourselves. God cleanses us when we simply name our sin to him. The word confess in the original New Testament language of the Greek, Koine Greek dialect, if we confess, is a compound verb, homologeo, is the way it's pronounced. Homologeo, it means to cite, name, specifically, or agree with. So you are citing to God what you did. For example, I just lost my temper, Father. I just lied, Father. I just lusted, Father. I just committed adultery, Father. You say that sounds too simple. How could it be that simple? Don't you have to make it up to God? Well, how could salvation be so simple? Didn't you just put faith alone in Christ alone? If God can handle the biggest thing, which is us getting saved, he certainly can handle the smallest thing, which was us committing sin in our life. So if you don't have to work to be saved, why would you have to work to be forgiven? Because you see, if you think you haven't been forgiven, and then you keep working at it, then you're depending on what you do to save you. Because then you're going to have doubt and say, well, you know, I might not really go to heaven because I did that really big sin. And maybe I haven't earned God's forgiveness yet. You don't earn God's forgiveness. The blood of Jesus Christ already paid for your sins, past, present, and future. What sin does is breaks fellowship with God. You can see all of this in John chapter 13. I'm going to read the story to you that goes on in this verse. Listen, Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, and that he would depart from this world to be with the Father. That means he knew he's about to be crucified. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. That's his disciples. And supper being ended, the devil already having put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. And Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and he was going back to God, rose up from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and wrapped it around himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was wrapped. And then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said, Lord, are you washing my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I am doing you do not understand right now, but you will know after this. And Peter said, reluctantly I might add, You will never wash my feet. And Jesus said, If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. That's the washing of regeneration that we're talking about right there. See, if you're not regenerated, you're not in the family. And Simon said, Oh, well, if that's the case, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said, He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet. He who is bathed means the one that is saved, the one who has accepted me as the Messiah, the one who has been redeemed and regenerated. He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet. The feet get defiled when you walk in the street. The feet get dirty. And so the ritual was to wash the feet of someone who came into the house because the feet were defiled. So Jesus said, He who is bathed need only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him, and therefore he said, You are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments, put them back on, sat down, he said, Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher, and you call me Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Now, let's get this straight. I'm not telling you that you should begin to wash people's feet. That is not what I'm saying. Foot washing is still practiced today in some denominations, and that's fine. But that's not what Jesus our Lord was teaching here. What he was teaching here was being cleansed from the defilement of sin, and we know that from the Greek words that are in the text. Peter had already had the ceremonial bath of Titus 3:5. But he needed to have the rebound cleansing when he sinned. And he would sin very shortly. He would deny the Lord 3 times before the rooster even crowed that morning. Yes. And so he had to understand that when his feet were dirtied, going to God and confessing your sin is the same as having Jesus wash your feet or cleanse you from the defilement of the world. And here's the big deal to go with that. If I wash your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. And then he said, if you know these things, happiness belongs to you if you'll do them. Should I forgive someone who sins against me? And the answer is yes. The Royal Family Honor Code does not allow the Christian to hold a grudge. The Royal Family Honor Code does not allow a Christian to seek revenge. The Bible clearly says I'm to love my enemies. So no, I'm not ever allowed to hold a grudge or to try to get even or to have bitterness reside in my heart. Bitterness is a mental attitude sin that can destroy you. These men did not know what was going on, but it was a lesson that our Lord taught them with a visible lesson. He washed their feet. They had already had a bath. They had already been ceremonially cleansed by believing in Jesus Christ and receiving him as the Messiah. John 13 is rebound. It's you being cleansed from the defilement of sin. Every time you sin, your feet get dirty. And every time you go to your Heavenly Father and admit your sin, the picture is that of Jesus Christ, your Lord, washing your feet or cleansing you from your sin. Can you picture that in your mind? Can you see that? Can you see yourself seated there in in your chair and slipping off your socks and off your shoes and Jesus kneeling in front of you and washing your feet? Because when you rebound, that's the picture. He is cleansing you from your sin, from your defilement. And why can he do that? Because he paid for it. All of it. On the cross, every sin was poured out on him. Not one sin was left. Every sin of the human race was poured out on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he alone was worthy to pay for those sins. He was the Lamb of God without spot and without blemish, takes away the sin of the world. He died for you. He paid the penalty that you should have paid. He offers you a new life, a washing, a cleansing that nothing else could ever do. You can begin a new life today, and you can stay clean every day when you rebound and confess your sin on a daily basis. Don't wait until you go to bed at night. Don't wait 10 minutes. If you know you've sinned, if you're aware that you've committed a sin, tell God immediately. That's you taking off your shoes and socks and letting Jesus wash your feet. That's you getting back into fellowship with God. Because without the rebound, the Holy Spirit cannot control you. He cannot guide you. He cannot teach you. If he is quenched because of your sin, and he is grieved, see, the Bible uses these two words, to quench the Holy Spirit and to grieve the Holy Spirit. Well, what causes that? My sin. And if he's quenched and grieved, then there's no way his ministry can be effective to me. So the only way I can keep the Holy Spirit in control is to use problem-solving device number one and let my Lord and my Savior wash my feet when I am defiled with sin. Just like he washed me on the cross, he can wash me every day. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to pay for it. It is a free grace gift from God. And that's the most wonderful life the world has ever known. Think about it. It's your choice. It's your life. And I sure hope you're listening today. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.